Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Welcome to all on this Palm Sunday of the Passion of the Lord. Welcome also to all who are watching and listening from your homes. Thank you for worshiping with us today. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Gordon, assisted by Deacon Jim. This Mass is being offered for Elizabeth Stein, first anniversary of death.
Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, who as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused our Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we may heed his lesson of patient suffering and so merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Praise and honor least became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Praise and honor to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
"What are you willing to give me if I handed him over to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said,
"Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
He said,
"Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'"
The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. While they were eating, he said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me."
Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another,
"Surely it is not I, Lord."
He said in reply,
"He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born."
Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply,
"Surely it is not I, Rabbi."
He answered,
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, said,
"Take and eat. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on, I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father."
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"This night your faith in me will be shaken. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be dispersed.' But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him in reply,
"Though all may have their faith in you shaken, mine will never be."
Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
Peter said to him,
"Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you."
And all the other disciples spoke likewise. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took along Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me."
He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying,
My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.
When he returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Withdrawing a second time, he prayed again.
My Father, if it is not possible that this cup pass without my drinking it, your will be done.
Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them,
Are you still sleeping and enjoying your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand.
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests and elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged a sign with them, saying,
The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him.
Immediately, he went over to Jesus and said,
Hail, Rabbi.
And he kissed him. Jesus answered him,
Friend, do what you have come for.
Then stepping forward, they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hand to his sword, drew it, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
Put your sword back into its sheath, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call on my Father and he will not provide me this moment with more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must come to pass in this way?
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I sat teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me. But all this has come to pass that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled.
Then all the disciples left him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. Peter was following him at a distance as far as the high priest's courtyard, and going inside, he sat down with the servants to see the outcome. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward who stated,
This man said, I can destroy the temple of God and within 3 days rebuild it.
The high priest rose and addressed him,
Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
I order you to tell us under oath before the living God whether you are the Christ, the Son of God.
Jesus said to him in reply,
You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest tore his robes and said,
He has blasphemed. What further need have we of witnesses? You have now heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion?
They said in reply,
He deserves to die.
Then they spat in his face and struck him, while some slapped him, saying,
Prophesy for us, Christ. Who is it that struck you?
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maids came over to him and said,
"You too were with Jesus the Galilean."
But he denied it in front of everyone, saying,
"I do not know what you are talking about."
As he went out to the gate, another girl saw him and said to those who were there,
"This man was with Jesus the Nazarene."
Again, he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
A little while later, some bystanders came and said to Peter,
"Surely you too are one of them. Even your speech gives you away."
At that, he began to curse and to swear,
"I do not know the man."
And immediately a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." He went out and began to weep bitterly. When it was morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretted what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying,
"I have sinned in betraying innocent blood."
They said,
"What is that to us? Look to it yourself."
Flinging the money into the temple, he departed and went off and hanged himself. The chief priests gathered up the money, but said,
"It is not lawful to deposit this in the temple treasury, for it is the price of blood."
After consultation, they used it to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why that field, even today, is called the Field of Blood. Then it was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of a man with a price on his head, a price set by some of the Israelites, and they paid it out for the potter's field, just as the Lord had commanded me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, who questioned him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus said,
"You say so."
And when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?"
But he did not answer him one word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them,
"Which one of you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called Christ?"
For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was still seated on the bench, his wife sent him a message, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him." The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas, but to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply,
"Which of the two do you want me to release to you?"
Pilate said to them,
"Then what shall I do with Jesus called Christ?"
They all said,
"Let him be crucified."
But he said,
"Why, what evil has he done?"
They only shouted the louder,
"Let him be crucified."
When Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying,
"I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves."
And the whole people said in reply,
His blood be upon us and upon our children.
Then he released Barabbas to them. But after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown out of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews."
They spat upon him and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And they placed over his head the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself, if you are the Son of God, and come down from the cross."
Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him and said,
"Save others, he cannot save himself, so he is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusted in God. Let God deliver him if the Lord wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'"
The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?"
Which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
"This one is calling for Elijah."
Immediately, one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and, putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said,
"Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to save him."
But Jesus cried out again, a loud voice, and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening, and they said,
Truly, this was the Son of God.
There were many women present, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was himself a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be handed over. Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in his new tomb that he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a huge stone across the entrance to the tomb and departed. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary remained sitting there facing the tomb. The next day, the one following the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
"Sir, we remember that this impostor, while still alive, said, 'After 3 days I will be raised up.' Give orders, then, that the grave be secured until the third day, lest his disciples come and steal him and say to the people, 'He has been raised from the dead.' His last impostor would be worse than the first."
Pilate said to them,
"The guard is yours. Go, secure it as best you can."
So they went and secured the tomb by fixing a seal to the stone and setting the guard. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Gratefully, we are a people of Easter. As Christians, we're people of the resurrection, of new life. We celebrate, by Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, a new covenant, a new beginning of grace and relationship, of identity with the Lord. We celebrate that at every Mass, in the Eucharist, in Jesus' body broken and blood outpoured. We celebrate the gift of new life in the Holy Spirit through the waters of baptism, that same gift of baptism that will bring new people into the faith at the Easter Vigil. We are a people of Easter, and yet you don't get to Easter without Good Friday, without the cross, without the old order, without the life of sinfulness in the world to be put to death. And so in this Holy Week, we contemplate the cross, we contemplate the putting to death of the old life, the former self. And it is difficult reflecting on our sinfulness. We don't like to look in the mirror. We don't like suffering. We don't like to contemplate suffering and death. And certainly we don't enjoy being part of the crowd chanting, "Crucify him, crucify him," on Palm Sunday and Good Friday in the reading of the Passion. And yet, when we read about the Passion, when we proclaim it, when we reflect on it, we see our identity. We see a God who loves us to the cross that much to suffer and to die for us. We know the depths of God's love. We get a glimpse into what infinite mercy, what an ocean of mercy really looks like. And we also appreciate the price of our redemption. We've been purchased, we've been redeemed, but at a cost. And the cross is what that looks like. We know our identity as the sons and daughters of God. We know God's love as we reflect on the cross. Secondly, we also recognize what to do with our crosses. We all have trials, tribulations, illnesses, sufferings. We suffer rejection. And we see how Jesus handles that. And how even Jesus turns the cross to something good, that crosses can be redemptive when accepted in faith. Prayer is powerful, but by Jesus' own words and admission, prayer plus fasting, prayer plus sacrifice is even more powerful. And so when we take our crosses, our trials, our tribulations, and we accept it in faith, Lord, whether I deserve this or not, I accept it in atonement for my sins and the sins of the world. I offer it to you as you picked up your cross for me. When we accept those trials of life in faith, our prayer becomes that much more powerful. It is prayer united with sacrifice and self-offering. Lastly, as the saying goes, misery loves company. When you're suffering, there's not a lot that makes it right, but you just don't want to go through it alone. And so let us make this week holy by our presence, by being with the Lord. Jesus says to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" He wants us to be with him, to console him in his wounded heart. And so let us take this week and make it holy by our presence, and especially those 3 days we call the Triduum, which encompass this mystery of passion, death, and resurrection. Holy Thursday, the night of the Lord's Supper, when we are given through the apostles the gift of the priesthood and the Eucharist, and that evening when we celebrate the time of Jesus in the garden and console him by Eucharistic adoration. The Good Friday service, where we celebrate again the passion of Jesus and his time on the cross. And then, of course, the weekend of the resurrection, whether we celebrate the Easter Vigil along with those to be initiated as Catholic Christians, or we attend the Easter Sunday liturgies. We are a people of Easter, but we get to Easter through the cross. And so let us take that time to embrace the cross, to embrace our own crosses in faith, that we might know God's love for us and God's mercy for us, that we might know how better to use the crosses of life and to turn them to spiritual profit. And of course, to use this time to draw ever closer to the Lord as we even take a moment to console him in his sufferings. The Lord invites us to the resurrection. He invites us to an eternal life together in heaven. Most of life is showing up, right? We show up for the things that matter to us. We show up for the people that matter to us. If we want to spend all eternity with Jesus in heaven, we have to start practicing wanting to be with him here on earth. And so may we use this week well to be with him so as to be with him in heaven. Celebrating our oneness in the faith, let us stand and profess this faith that unites us. I believe in one God,
Father, Maker of earth and of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten and not made, consubstantial of the Father, through him all. Amen.
God sent his only Son to save us. With joyful confidence, we offer our prayers this holy day.
For the Pilgrim Church on earth, may God inspire true worship that will draw people to love and follow his Son. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For a greater respect for life throughout the world, from conception through natural death, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For all who are entering the church this Easter, may God shower them with grace during this Holy Week. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For this community of faith, may Jesus open our eyes to the fullness of his love as we journey with him to the cross. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For the sick and suffering in our community, may Jesus, even on the cross, be the source of healing, hope, and trust, especially for Martha Blondie, our television, radio, and online community, and those listed in our book of prayer. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For our beloved dead, may God grant them a share in the resurrection of his Son, especially for Ralph Paul, Russell Prinz, and all the holy souls in purgatory. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord God, hear these prayers we bring before you with humble hearts and answer them in accordance with your holy will, we ask through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
Stand and pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Through the passion of your only begotten Son, O Lord, may our reconciliation with you be near at hand, so that, though we do not merit it by our own deeds, yet by this sacrifice made once for all, we may feel already the effects of your mercy through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For though innocent, he suffered willingly for sinners and accepted unjust condemnation to save the guilty. His death has washed away our sins, and his resurrection has purchased our justification. And so with all the angels, we praise you as, in joyful celebration, we acclaim. Holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness, make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity together with Leo, our Pope, and Earl, our Bishop, and all of the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and all of the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. The through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom,
the power, the glory, and the glory, now and
forever. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord.
Thank you. Let us stand and pray. Nourished with these sacred gifts, we humbly beseech you, O Lord, that just as through the death of your Son, you have brought us to hope for what we believe, so by his resurrection, you may lead us to where you call, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Lord be with you.
Bow down for the blessing.
Look, we pray, O Lord, on this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ did not hesitate to be delivered into the hands of the wicked and submit to the agony of the cross, who lives and reigns forever and ever. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you all forever.
Go and announce the gospel of the Lord.
Friends, have you ever questioned whether you are loved or lovable? I suppose we all do at some point in life. The beauty of the season of Lent as we contemplate Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection is we know our worth in God's sight. The Father has sent the Son to give his life for us. The infinitely precious blood of Jesus has been shed for us. That is the good news. And that is what is beautiful about this Outreach Mass ministry, that we can share that good news with those who most need to hear it. Please support us with your prayer. And if you wish to send a donation to contribute to this ministry, send it care of the Outreach Mass, 955 Alton Road, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823. And let us spread the good news. May God bless and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.